for us to gain a better understanding of utterance, not as a separate reality for redemption, but as a basic component of what redemption is all about. And it's so important because the things of God, the things of the Spirit, they function based on understanding. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, Paul says, concerning spiritual brethren, I would not have you ignorant. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. So it's possible for a man, a believer, to be ignorant about spirituals. The language Paul used there actually is a language of rebuke. He wasn't talking casually when he said, I would not have you. The tone actually was meant to convey sharpness. Because the things of the Spirit were things that they were used to, and the things of the Spirit were things they were already walking in, but ignorance concerning those things was a deliberate ignoring of the knowledge that goes with operating those things. That's what Paul was addressing there. So when we're looking at utterance again, the reason why we do that year by year, year after year, is because no one arrives at the full understanding of these things at once. And the greater you understand, the greater the clarity, the better it is in your everyday world and your practice with all those things. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Where we've been at last week, verse 9. But as his reaching high has not seen nor ear heard, it hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. For God has written them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For all man knows the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. You know, when it says, what man knows the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things which are what freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, knowing what which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual realities with spiritual realities. So notice this, but as it is written, I has not seen. So he's quoting from the Holy Scriptures. So he's revealing something that was spoken and utterance of one of the prophets, specifically Isaiah. Isaiah said, as it is written. So what was written? That eyes have not seen nor ear heard, that have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared. So again, there are things God prepared. And when it says God has prepared, is concerning the things God promised. Notice how he describes what God has prepared. He says, what man knows the things of a man, save the Spirit of man with his name. Even so, the things of God knows no man, save what? The Spirit of God. So in other words, he's saying, the promise of God, the plan of God with respect to redemption, can only be fully unveiled by the Spirit of God. That's what he's saying. So let's say it this way. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. There are things God has prepared. When you hear the word prepared there, it's almost as though saying there's a time release capsule. Some things cannot be unveiled, they cannot be unfolded, they cannot be walked in their fullness until such a time as the spirit of that reality is given. That's what he's saying. So there are things God has prepared. Those things are earmarked for the era or the age of the Spirit. Those things belong to the Spirit, and those things cannot be unveiled until the Spirit is given. So when you hear him say, now we have received, he's showing us the difference between what was promised and what has been fulfilled. Now look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and sat diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come. There's a grace to come. What's grace to come? Things that are prepared. Things which eyes have not seen nor ear heard. Why didn't eyes see nor ear heard? Because those things have to do with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now notice what the prophets did. The salvation which the prophets have inquired and searched, they spoke of the grace that should come unto you. Now it says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. So we've covered this in the previous teaching. When you hear the Spirit of God which was in them, you have to understand what it means by the Spirit of God which was in them, because the Spirit of God was not in them. Okay? The spirit of God which was in what they said, it's speaking about the utterance. That which they said was a revelation of the spirit of God. Because none of the prophets had the spirit of God in them. At least not in the way we call it now, that for the holy man to be in equation. So it says, with the spirit of God which was in what they said, this signifies. So in their utterances, there was a signification, a pointing to the reality. It says, when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Remember, eyes have not seen nor ear heard the things which God has what? Prepared for them that love. So we define, what does it mean to love God? To believe. So the things which God prepared for those that would believe, that's what he's talking about. So notice, unto whom it was revealed, I'm reading 1 Peter 1 and verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister these things, which are now reported unto you by them that have what? Preached the gospel. So the gospel is a declaration of things prepared. Notice again, unto whom it was revealed. Who was it revealed? The prophets that prophesied of the grace that should come. So the prophets prophesied of the grace that should come. And when they were searching, to search means that they made inquiries. So it's like a prophet will stand and speak by the Spirit of God, and the testimony of Christ is in the utterance of the prophets, and the prophets will listen and begin to inquire in what time frame or what specific details of the events. And when they were inquiring, the Spirit of God was revealed to them that it was not for them, it was not in their age of dispensation. It says, the things which are now reported unto you by them that have what? Preached the gospel, or preached the fulfillment of those things to you. Can you see that? Okay. With what? The Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. So can we say the Holy Ghost sent from the resurrection? Can we say that? Is it safe to say that? So when you say the Holy Ghost sent from heaven, a believer should not be looking to heaven. So we're looking to the Holy Ghost sent from the what? The resurrection. Again, remember, eyes have not seen. The greatest mistake you can make when you're reading some of these texts is to take it literally or to walk out of context. So you can't come and say that, you know, what God wants to do in your life, eyes have not seen yet. That's not what he's talking about. I'm not saying God cannot do that. I'm saying that that's not what he's talking about. What is he talking about? It's quoting a prophecy as it is written. That means it was something spoken. Now, it forced Peter. Peter now says, this is the prophet's prophesying of a grace. A grace means a bestowal, an inheritance, something God planned to give. How will he give it? Through the gospel. How will you receive through the gospel? By believing. Can you see that now? So notice again verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves. Let me ask a question. Why was it not unto them? Because the things which eyes have not seen nor heard, that God has prepared, the expression of it could not come in that day because of what will be required to bring it to pass. In the Old Testament, was it called the gospel? Yes. Was it called the gospel? Yes. How was it called the gospel? As a promise. In the New Testament, is it called the gospel? Yes. How is it called the gospel? As a fulfillment of what? A promise. So when you're reading, it was revealed unto them, not unto themselves, but that unto us they ministered these things which are now reported. So to now report means that it is now declared unto you by those who have preached or proclaimed the good news unto you with the Holy Ghost or with the proof of the gospel. Hallelujah. Can you see that? So go to Mark chapter 16. So we're examining, because again, the word believe, the word love, the word believe, they are interchangeable words. To believe, to love God, to believe. To love God is to believe God. So to love God is not just an emotion. To love God actually means to believe God. Because that, again, is a quotation from the book of Isaiah. So in Mark now, look at what Jesus said in Mark. Mark chapter 16, and I read from verse 15. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creation. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. Let's examine the gospel again. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. What should you do? Preach the gospel. What does it mean to preach? It means to proclaim. What is the good news? What are the details? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you that the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received. What's under what of receiving? To believe. Thank you. And wherein you, so you are a living proof of what I preached by believing. So by believing you became examples or proofs of those who have received. Next verse. It says, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Yeah. Next verse. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to what? The scriptures. Next verse. These are the details. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to what? The scriptures. Can you see that? And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ rose according to the scriptures. When you hear according to scripture, it means the Holy Scriptures, Genesis, Malachi, is saying one primary thing, that Christ will die, that Christ will be buried, and Christ will rise. And that is the gospel. So it was spoken as a promise, something that will happen in the Holy Scriptures. But when you're reading that in the Gospels, when you're reading that in the Epistles, you're reading it as something that has what? Happened. So, Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 now says, Romans 10 verse 8, see what it says. But what does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which you preach. Next verse. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, I shall what? Believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now remember where we started from. It says, as it is written. What is written? The promise. What is the promise? That Christ will die, and that Christ will be buried, and that Christ will what? Rise from the dead. Now, as it is written, eyes have not seen. So let's put it this way. Eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, and have entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for them that believe or that love him. So out of the resurrection, there are things prepared as a consequence of the resurrection. Or as a consequence of believing the resurrection. Are you following tonight? So I'm letting you see the connection, because again, we're not in this assembly particularly, but then I've been to many places, and I came from that kind of background also, where we saw utterance as a separate experience from salvation. I mean, everything from that kind of background. So, and you know, we believe this for as long as possible, because we didn't have any other thing to believe. So you cannot operate the things of the Spirit beyond the truth you have received. You cannot. You cannot operate the things of the Spirit. If you operate by chance, by association, when the association is not present, you will go back. Because you don't have the truth to sustain the experience. The experience is not the issue. It is that there's a limitation based on the truth you have been preached. So the truth you have. So when we want to increase the manifestation or expression of things of Spirit in a man's life, we increase man's understanding. Remember what Paul said, wherefore I give you to what? Understand. So what you read, because the Corinthians were walking in things of the Spirit, almost to the point of abuse. So Paul had to bring them back to the purpose of those things, not to the existence of those things. Those things existed, those things were being expressed, but those things were not being expressed in line with understanding. So wherefore I give you to understand. Hallelujah. That's what the teaching of God's word is. So if I give you to understand, I, so to speak, increase your capacity to express the things of the Spirit. The capacity is always there, because the capacity is present to you by the Spirit of Christ present to you. The Spirit of Christ is not present to you in a lesser measure than all of the ability of Christ. The Spirit of Christ within you is inherent ability to express all that Christ is. But the expression of the Spirit of Christ within you is a function of your understanding. So wherefore I give you to what? Understand. That's what Paul said. So the things that are prepared, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe that God has, past tense. So in the gospel, sorry, in the Holy Scriptures, that God will raise him. It's a word. The gospel in the Holy Scriptures is God will what? Raise him. The gospel in the Epistles is that God has raised him. Can you see that? That God has raised him. So when you hear Jesus saying, go back to Mark 11, Mark 16, sorry, and verse 15. Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, go into all the world and what? Proclaim, announce the gospel. What is the gospel? That God has raised him from the dead to every creature. Now, notice what happened. Look at the next verse. He that believeth that God raised him from the dead and is baptized, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what? Salvation. Can you see that? So he that believeth and is baptized is he that believeth that is baptized. So the believing is a baptism. The believing is a baptism. You know, as simple as that is, it makes no difference. He that believeth, that is baptized. So to believe means to be immersed into a reality. What have you believed that God raised him? What does it mean for God to raise him? To be immersed into that resurrection. Now, to be immersed into that resurrection now means that from this point onwards, you are called a believing one. From this point onward, you cannot be addressed outside of the spirit in which you are immersed. From this point onwards, the resurrection becomes the reference point for the existence of that person. So you see, when we say things like, if any man be in Christ, we're saying if any man be in the resurrection, he's a new creature. The yardstick of measurement of addressing that person is totally different because he is now referred to in the light of what Christ has done. It's God's work. Hallelujah. What are we describing? Things that eyes have not seen nor ear heard, and have entered into the things which God has well prepared. Now, let me say this. If God prepared it, it is prepared unto perfection. Because perfection is a habit of preparation. Resurrection is God's perfection on display. The resurrection is God's perfection on display. Let me say it another way. If resurrection is God's perfection, and the believing is to be baptized into the resurrection, whatever you have in the resurrection is God's perfection in expression. Let me say that again. If resurrection is God's perfection, and the believing is the baptism into that resurrection, then that baptism into that resurrection is perfection in expression. Hallelujah. Let me say that. You know, the reason why these truths are taught, let me say it again, this. You will need to lean upon the revelation of God's word as you understand it than on your experience. A believer is not called to lean on his experience except that experience is born of the word of God. A believer is called to lean upon the authority of God's word, which is why we keep teaching, wherefore I give you to understand. So it's like this. I want to extend, I want to improve your ability to express things of the spirit before I start practically engaging you in exercises. I must give you to understand. What is understanding? So that when you step out this understanding and you see a greater expression, you will not go back to where you once were. Let me say it another way. If I start expressing the things of the Spirit and I don't have understanding as a platform, I will express certain realities. I will think it's a coincidence. I will think the God was in a good mood that day. You understand what I mean like that? And then I will go back to where I am comfortable. Comfortability in the things of the Spirit is defined by your understanding pattern. That what defines comfort. Your place of comfort now is your place of understanding now. So a few words in tongues, a few syllables, and a bit of interpretation, if all you have given yourself to, does not mean that is all there is. That is all you have given yourself to, because that is all you understand. You're not moving more than that. No, you are not expressing more than that. There's a difference. So the question is, how does God get you to express more? Because what you have in you is God's perfection. It can be improved upon. Remember, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard. Now listen carefully. That implication, just like we read in 1 Peter, the prophets have searched and inquired diligently. They prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Why were they inquiring? What they were seeing, they could sense and pick out the perfection in what they were seeing. Now, remains, so to speak, with the old nature, yet is able to voice out, because of the interest of God's Spirit, God's plans, God's promises through prophecies. But it remains the same in its old nature. So it's having to follow God only by faith. It doesn't have the nature that matches the utterance that is coming out from him. That same prophet now hears, based on the supernatural utterance of the Spirit's influence upon him, that there is coming a time, a season, when the Spirit that is a visitor to the prophet now begins to live inside of men and permanent residence. So we can see this is perfection coming. So they inquired and sought diligently. So Moses inquired and sought diligently, what manner of time? Then it was revealed unto them, and not unto them, but unto us, they minister these things, which are now reported to you by them who want preach the gospel. So in preaching the gospel, we're preaching that whatever God promised, he has perfected. Glory to God. Whatever God promised, he has won. Baptism, immersion into the resurrection. So again, from this time forward, the one that believes is not defined by what? The resurrection. Look at next verse. And these signs shall follow them. So who are them? Them that believe, who have been immersed, who have been baptized. These signs shall follow them that believe. What do they believe? They believe that God has raised him from the dead. When you believe what has happened to you, you are baptized into the reality of that resurrection. What are you baptized into? We're going to come back shortly now. Look at John's Gospel, chapter 7. We'll teach this as basic as possible in mind to increase our understanding. Hallelujah. I believe with all of my heart that is a door that God opened in the resurrection. That the Spirit of God given to us is primarily expressed through vocal ability. And that all that God is and that God will ever be is present in that ability. And it is commonplace, because that is God's wisdom on display for men to despise it. It is commonplace for men. It's just like men to despise what is God's wisdom on display. Remember what we read before now? He said, now we have received. Now the Spirit is of what? Of the world. So the Spirit we have received does not follow the pattern of the world. It's the Spirit of God. And because the Spirit of God, which things also we speak. So the things of God we're speaking in, according to the wisdom that the Spirit gives. So there is a wisdom of the word, there is a wisdom of God. Now, in God's wisdom, the ability of God is present in that vocal ability. All that God is perfection. It's meant to be spoken out. Why must it be spoken out? Because it's already done. If it is done and you cannot see it, the seeing it is in the speaking it. The doing it is in the speaking it. The manifesting is in the speaking it. Pardon my English. John chapter 7. Verse 37. And the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You already know when Jesus speaks about a thirst, he's not talking about a natural thirst, he's speaking spiritually. So if a man is thirsty spiritually, he needs water. If a man is thirsty spiritually, he also needs water. So in the natural, you need water, which is aqua. Hallelujah. Okay, to quench your physical thirst. If you're thirsty spiritually, you need life, which is God's water, which is God's Spirit, isn't it? If any man thirst, let him come unto me. So, what does it mean to come unto him and drink? He that believeth, okay, on me, as the scripture has said. Again, you won't find any passage of scripture that says this. So, as the scripture has said. All right, are we good to go? All right, so where will we now? John's Gospel, right? Chapter 7. Alright, so see what it says. He that believeth on me, as scripture has said. So we said, the scripture has said is a summary of all the holy scriptures testified. It's a summary. You won't find any particular scripture that says this. So notice the summary and the testimony you find in the holy scriptures is this. Out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Now, John gives us a clarity of what Jesus said. It doesn't leave it hanging. Because when you hear the word belly, when you hear flow, when you hear rivers of living water, and he just said, he that believeth on me, as scripture has said, Now, again, we've seen the word believe. Believe on him. How do you believe on him? You believe in his resurrection, isn't it? You believe in what he has accomplished, which is his resurrection. Now, in that resurrection, which is now called out of his belly. So, if there are flowing rivers of living water, that river, look at next verse, is now called this speaking of the Spirit. So, the rivers of living water, it speaks of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Again, what are they to believe? You believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. So again, to believe there will be to believe that God has raised him from the dead. And when you believe, rivers of living water, which is the Spirit, is received because it is given. So again, it says, this speaking of the Spirit that believe on him should receive. Now, what is the receiving of the Spirit? That's exactly what he said in Mark chapter 16 when he says, this go ye and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized. Hallelujah. So to be baptized means to receive the water, to receive the Spirit, which is to be saved. Isn't it? So let's go back to Mark 16 now. Next verse. And these signs shall follow them that believe in the resurrection, those who are immersed into that belief, in my name. So again, in my name now cannot mean J-E-S-U-S, obviously. Because what has been saying, preach the gospel. What is the gospel? God has reached him. What has been for God to raise him? What is the implication of God raising him? Okay, let's go back out there. What is the gospel again? God has reached him. And when God raises him, what will happen after God has reached him? The Spirit will be given. What is the Spirit given? He that believeth and is baptized shall be. What is baptism? I think the challenge we have is that because of the different phrases used, the same thing. Say, I'm saved. I have the Spirit. I'm a son. They mean the same thing. Say, they mean the same thing. They mean the same thing. Say, I'm saved. I'm baptized. Someone asks, are you baptized? Say yes. Someone is saying, I'm not baptized by water. Water. But you have Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be. Are you saved? You have believed. Have you been baptized? What did you receive? Spirit. Where did Spirit come from? Out of his belly. What is his belly? Resurrection. Is it clear now? So, again, look at it now. These signs shall follow them that believe. Notice, what did he say to believe? To believe that God raised him. So these signs shall follow those who have been immersed into my resurrection in my name. What is his name? Name is resurrection. Name will mean what he accomplished. What did he accomplish? Out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. What is the river? This speaking of the Spirit. They that believe on him shall receive. So the believing one has received the river. The river is the Spirit. The Spirit is of the resurrection. The resurrection is salvation. They mean the same thing. So, in my name, that is in what I have accomplished. What did he accomplish? He rose from the dead. In that resurrection is our salvation, which is our redemption. In my name. These signs shall follow the believing one in what I've accomplished. So, in other words, whatever is found in the resurrection is native to his name, or is a consequence of his name, or it is consistent with his reputation. So let me ask, is utterance available in his name? Is utterance available in the resurrection? Is utterance given separate from the resurrection? Let me take back again. Is utterance in the resurrection? Is the resurrection his name? Is utterance in the resurrection? Is utterance separate from the resurrection? In my name. So, in that resurrection, one of the things that is characteristic is that they will speak with new. New means never heard before, never spoken before, never experienced before, because it was not available before. In my name, they will speak with new. That is tribal tongues. That is, they belong to a tribe of those who are raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. Everywhere you go, every time you want to express, the minute we can certify that you are saved, utterance is present. The meaning we can sanctify you or say, because utterance and the resurrection, utterance is an inherent ability of the resurrection. In the same way you cannot be saved without the Spirit, you cannot be saved without utterance, because utterance is an expression of salvation. Glory to God. That's implication. Utterance is. So look at what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 2. As it is written, eyes have not seen nor heard, and I have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who will believe. What will they believe? That God has risen from the dead. So verse 12 now says, now we have received. What did you receive? That which proceeds from believing. What did you believe? That God raised him. What do we have? The Spirit, which is of God. And not speak of the word, which is of God. That we might know the things which are what? Freely given. How was it freely given? In the resurrection. Which things also we speak. So he's telling you, vocal ability and the resurrection go together. Vocal ability and resurrection, they go together. Vocal ability and resurrection, they go what? Together. They go together. So there is no such thing, or let me put it this way. Is there such a thing as a believer who doesn't have utterance? No. Is there such a thing as a believer who doesn't express utterance? Yes. Is there anything to repent of that? Should be close to repent. So, is there such a thing as a believer who cannot speak? No. Is there such a thing as a believer who doesn't speak? Yes. So, go back to 1 Corinthians 2 now. Look at the specific words. Sometimes you want to sit down here, and every time there's a doubt in your heart, every time you're wondering, because you are a minister. The resurrection has made you a minister of eternal realities. Every time you're down, you're first a minister to yourself. And because you're a minister to yourself, of the abundance of what you have ministered to yourself, you are free to give to others. Now, no matter how down you are, it doesn't change the fact that the perfection of Christ is locking on your inside. Which is why Paul will pray, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven has his name, that will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, not according to your feelings, that you be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Let the inner man be standing up when the outer man feels weak, when the outer man feels tired, when the outer man feels depressed, when the outer man feels discouraged. Let the inner man be standing up. That's the man in Christ. Let him take the center stage. Let him sit on the throne. Let him answer the challenges on the outside. Because the inner man has never failed. He knows no failure because he's one with Christ. Hallelujah. And the inner man always knows what to say. The inner man never lacks utterance, because utterance is the ability of resurrection going forth. But the outer man is given to the senses more often than not. He's given to the senses. He's tempted to throw in the towel. He's tempted to give up. He's tempted to turn his back. He's tempted to drop his head. But the inner man keeps standing as Christ stands. Glory to God. That you be strengthened with might by Spirit in the inner man. Christ winning your heart by faith, you may be able to comprehend with all saints. So comprehension is the answer. That's what he's saying. Which things also we speak. Now we have received. What is the next activity after receiving? What did you receive? You receive the ability of God in the resurrection, which is God's Spirit. What is the first thing the Spirit wants you to do? Which things also we speak. So coded in you is the perfection of Christ available in the resurrection in the Spirit, which is meant to be expressed, not only for your learning, but learning of the audience that is present. I dare say, because of that ability, you can speak beyond your mental capacity more often than not. In other words, your mind can sit down in the classroom of your spirit and learn of the beautiful things of Christ that will come out of you. Your mind can receive a new education and know, you know what? You are not situated in defeat. You are in the highlands of victory. Your mind can receive that kind of education. The rubbish in the office. Life has thrown many things at you. But in the victory of Christ, you are seated far above. And your outer man, at one time or the other, may not be conscious of that reality. So the inner man rises up to the task. He stands up and begins to speak. And as he speaks, strength, ability, already present, begins to flow out. Before you know what's happening, even the outer man is standing up also and echoing loudly whatever the inner man is saying. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Which things also we speak, which things eyes have not seen, nor ear heard. So in every situation, there's a wisdom. In every situation, there is a way out. In every situation, which things also. So here's the issue. If those things also we speak, the way to defeat a believer is to stop him from speaking. Have you noticed that when you are depressed or sad or down, you don't want anybody to talk to you? Have you noticed that? You want to hide your head. Somebody wants to say, but Isaiah says, please. You've not been able to leave Isaiah out of this. Leave Isaiah alone. I am the one that knows how I'm feeling. That's the problem. How your feelings keeping you down. But Christ's victory causes you to stand up. Which you need to hear. Which things also we speak. Which things? The things in that resurrection we speak by the spirit of that resurrection. So you have received a reality. The spirit is the reality of that resurrection. In that resurrection, there is no defeat. There are no down days. There's victory all the way. Hallelujah. Which things also we speak. So until they can stop you from speaking, they can never stop you from enjoying victory. How do you start? Echo through estiste. As two safrada kayatia, as you brother kate. You slipped once or twice and you fall it. So you think falling is the order of the day. But then a righteous man will fall seven times and stand up again. And when you stand up, all the previous times you slipped, it will be as nothing in the light of the victory that will come. For overwhelming breakthrough will stand you on your feet, shouting, until there's no trace of past mistakes. And the reality of the present will swallow every mistake of the past. Hallelujah. Now, you know eyes have not seen or heard what I just said now. Because even my own eyes and ears have not heard it. I heard it for the first time when I said it now. Why? The inner man spoke for the outer man to hear. So that the outer man can be educated. In the reality, there's victory. Glory to God. So until you speak, you don't get to hear those things. Yeah, those things are on the inside, waiting to be spoken out, which things also we speak. Holding you by the hand, never letting go. That is the covenant I gave in my son, to always keep you standing, never to let you fall. So stand your ground, saying, he that holds me is able to keep me from falling. I will not sleep. Even when I'm faltering, he's able to keep me standing, and my faith will always work for me. Where am I speaking from? Which things also we speak. Don't faint in the day of manifestation, for it is nearer than you think. Don't give up when you are at the door of fullness of what you are trusted for it is closer than the air you breathe. Stand your ground. He that said is faithful. He that gave will not turn back. He that released will not keep back what belongs to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Which things also we speak. Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teaches. So you can see this. What does the Holy Ghost teach? It teaches you. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. So because you are a new creation, all things that belong to that newness, which is in that resurrection, which is God's perfection, is meant to be for your enjoyment now. So it tells you, did you fall before? You can still stand. Did you fail before? You can still succeed. Did you miss it before? You can still get it. Did you falter before? You can still go ahead. Only the resurrection can give that. Remember that Elijah, after calling fire from heaven, after causing rain to fall, still ran at the voice of a woman. When witchcraft came, when he rose up, the prophet ran. What didn't he have? He didn't have this gift, this grace, this ability to edify, to build up. There was no inner man to stand ground. But today you have that inner man. Victory on every side. Hallelujah. That which the enemy has no answer to, which things also we speak. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Acts and chapter 2. And verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them, cloven tongue like as of fire, and they sat upon each of them. Yep. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. Now, you will notice nowhere else in the epistles or in the book of Acts was this peculiar experience recorded. When I say peculiar, verse 2 and 3 were never recorded again. Cloven tongues of fire, never recorded. Sound like a magic, never recorded. What was now common that men kept getting filled. Men kept getting filled. Men kept getting filled. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak other tongues as the Spirit supplied utterance. Or the utterance of the Spirit, which was supplied, was seen. Was the Spirit supplied? Yes. Was utterance given? Yes. But it was not seen until they began. What does it mean for them to begin? Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. They were all madness and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Next verse. Others mocking said, these men are full of what? New wine. Now notice, things that eyes have not seen nor ear heard were in demonstration, and some were amazed, were in doubt, some were mocking, and said they are full of new wine. Look at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted a voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Now notice, hearken to my words. Don't look at the manifestation. Don't look at the expressions. Don't look at the physical demonstrations. Hearken to my words, because the secret is in my words. There are things they are doing that is based on a particular understanding. They were all filled and they began. Why were they able to begin? Hearken to my words. The secret or the explanation for what you are seeing is in my words. If you don't understand my words, you will come to the wrong conclusion. Spiritual experiences can only be understood by the teaching of God's word. If you don't hearken to my words, you will be misled as to what is happening. So, a believer will go astray. You don't try to explain a manifestation from manifestation. You use God's word to what? Explain and to understand the manifestation. Or look at the conclusion of the crowd. Some were in doubt, they were amazed, others were mocking. So you cannot trust the crowd with respect to interpretation of what is going on. You can't. Because some were amazed, some were in doubt, then some were mocking. That's three different responses. So we can't look to them. Peter said, hearken to my words. So all of you have come to a wrong conclusion. If we take from the first complaint and the second complaint and the third group of people, all of you are wrong. So what you do, again, is like echoing what Paul said. Wherefore, I give you to understand how hearken to my words. Look at next verse. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but. So the first word debunked the natural claim. The third hour is 9 a.m. The pubs are not yet open. But look at what he said. He said, for this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Next verse. And it shall come to pass in the last days. In the last days is understood by the Jew as a conclusion of all things. In the last days, the conclusion, the fulfillment. So there is something said that will come to pass. This is the conclusion of what was said. So the last days means in the final hour, in concluding the matter. So what was spoken as a conclusion in the last days means now that which is spoken is concluded. When it is concluded, what will you see? That's what Joel said. It shall come to pass in the last days. Let me ask you a question. What was the conclusion of the promise of God? The resurrection of Jesus. So let me say it in modern English now. It shall come to pass. What did Joel say? That in the last days, if we are reading now, how do we say it shall come to pass that in the resurrection? Hallelujah. Is it, can we say that? Is it okay to say that? All right. So let's read that way. And it shall come to pass in the resurrection, saith God, I will what? Pour out my spirit. Does it fit in? It fits in perfectly. So in the resurrection, what will I do? I'll pour out my spirit. So let me ask again. What is the believing? Going to the word and preach the gospel to every what? Creature. What is the gospel? God raised Jesus from the dead. He that believeth that God raised him and is baptized is what? Saved. So it shall come to pass in the resurrection or at salvation or redemption, my spirit will be poured out. So if you see my spirit being poured out, you are looking at a saved person. Here's what I'm trying to say. Peter used Joel's prophecy to explain that utterance is a gift of the resurrection. That's what I'm trying to say since. He didn't explain it as one special thing. That's because notice what he says. It shall come to pass. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. He didn't say your sons and daughters shall speak with tongues. Joel didn't know anything about tongues. What he needs about what? So you know what? And where did they begin? They were filled and they began to speak with what? Other tongues. But what did Joel say? They shall prophesy. What did they speak? They began to speak other tongues. So why was Peter using Joel's prophecy if Acts chapter 2 verse 4 says they were all filled and they began to speak what? Other tongues. Would it mean that between verse 4 and verse 17 they must have interpreted their tongues, which we know is not prophecy? Should I say that again? Acts chapter 2 verse 4, they were all filled with Holy Ghost and they began to what? Speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. Now, if I speak in tongues and I interpret, you cannot be in doubt. You cannot mock. You cannot say I'm full of new wine. But if I start speaking and you watch me as I spoke in tongues, and by the time I finish speaking in tongues, I interpreted, and that interpretation is a prophecy, and in that prophecy you can see I'm under the influence of a divine order, you can see the process of tongues to interpretation, something's going on here. Because some are so under the power, some are dancing, some in the process of prophesying are shouting, some are laughing as I hope you understand what's going on. Now, what did Peter explain? He said, this is what was spoken, according to my words. Did they know about Joel's prophecy? Yes, they did. Did they know how to explain Joel's prophecy? No, they did not. So Peter said, according to my words, it shall come to pass in the last days. Now, what is the last days now at the conclusion? What's the conclusion? That in the resurrection of Jesus, I pour out my spirit upon all flesh. What is my spirit poured out? Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So God is saying, when you see my spirit, how do you know my spirit has been poured out? It is men prophesying. It is men prophesying. What is my spirit poured out? Men prophesying. What is men prophesying? Men give it to utterance. Hallelujah. Can you see how that lines up with 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13? Which things also we speak? So the Holy Ghost, things we speak, the Holy Ghost, things which we also speak, the Holy Ghost and utterance are synonymous. Which things also we speak. So Peter is explaining, and Peter said, they shall prophesy. What is prophesy? My spirit poured out. My spirit poured out. So Joel described this as the activity of God, but Peter says the activity of God Joel spoke about is actually the activity of men. Why is he describing as God's activity? The same God by the Spirit is now inside of men. The same God by His Spirit is now inside of men. Hence, he says, I will pour out my Spirit. I will find expression. The expression of my Spirit is in men prophesying. Now, I'm going to say something now. Would you dare to believe that when you open your mouth to give an utterance in tongues and to interpret that God is pouring out His Spirit through you? If only you would dare to believe that, you will see great things. Let me say it again. If you would dare to understand that when you stand to your feet and give to yourself or to anyone a message in tongues and interpretation, because tongues and interpretation equals prophecy, it is God through you pouring out His Spirit. So the pouring out of God's Spirit is actually men yielding to the Spirit of God within so that God can find expression. It's men yielding to the Spirit of God within so that God can find what? Expression. So I'll pour out my Spirit is God through you, through me, finding expression in supernatural utterance. So let me say it this way. The minute you refuse to speak, to express utterance, you are robbing us of the supply of God's Spirit. See, I have the supply of God's Spirit. I have the supply of God's Spirit. That supply is in me at all times. As I open my mouth to speak, the supply is available. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began. So to be filled is the beginning. They began to speak other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. So the Spirit giving utterance is they beginning to speak. The Spirit giving utterance is they begin. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave what? Utterance. Hallelujah. Now, here's where I'm really going again. Notice what Peter said. Verse 21. That's the conclusion of this. He was quoting Joel's prophecy. He will move on to David's prophecy. But look at verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall come on the name of the Lord shall be. What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? To believe. So, Peter is using resurrection, which is redemption, to explain utterance. He's saying redemption from the resurrection is a basis of what? Utterance. So if a man is redeemed, or a man has a resurrection, he's already saved in that salvation, he has utterance. They are not separate things, they are the same thing. And that is why, through the writings of Paul, you notice something very peculiar. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. The implication is interesting. If you are joined to the Lord, you are one spirit. The Spirit in him is the Spirit in you. Let me put it this way. That means the reference point for defining you now is Spirit. Because you have the Spirit, you are called spiritual. Say I'm spiritual. Because I have the Spirit. Spiritual is more than conduct. Spiritual is first of all a nature before it's a conduct. So for instance now, that's why you are not possessed by God's Spirit. Listen carefully. If a man is possessed by a spirit, you know one of the signs that follow behind that they shall cast out what? Devils. So for instance now, when you have a dumb spirit or a deaf spirit, the deaf spirit manifests characteristic of deafness in a man when it possesses a man. So the man is not deaf naturally. The deafness is enforced by the presence of that word spirit. So the minute you cast out that spirit, deafness goes with the spirit. The man is able to hear. Are you following? So we say the man has a deaf spirit. So the deafness lives when the spirit is cast out. Because the man is displaying. So the man on his own is not deaf. He's only manifesting traits of deafness that comes from that spirit. So we say the man is possessed by a deaf spirit. You understand? Now, when they say a man has the Spirit of God, it's not the same thing because you are not possessed. You and the Spirit of God are one. You don't have a nature outside of the Spirit. The Spirit of God's nature is your nature. You and him are one at the same. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God in you is what makes you a son, which is why we can't separate you from the Spirit because it's like separating you from you. So the Spirit of God in me is righteousness. The Spirit of God in me is sonship. The Spirit of God in me is holiness. The Spirit of God in me is utterance. The Spirit of God in me is justification. They're not two different things. The status of sonship is established by the Spirit I have received. Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed. For the love of God is what? Shed abroad in our hearts by what? The Holy Ghost which he has what? Given us. Amen. Hope make it not ashamed. And if you understand what he's trying to say, the word hope there means that which was spoken, that which was expected all the way from the Holy Scriptures by the prophets, that which they looked forward to, which was called hope, did not fail, did not disappoint. How do we know it did not disappoint? Because what was hoped for is not fulfilled. What was being hoped for? The love of God, which is the Spirit of God in us. Say the love of God in me. It is the Spirit of God in me. The Spirit of God in me is God's love in me. Hallelujah. So hope maketh not ashamed. So there was a hope Hope speaks about that which people are waiting for, isn't it? What were they waiting for in the Holy Scriptures? That the Spirit of God will live inside of men. So that hope was not disappointed, or that hope did not bring shame. What is shame? For the Spirit not to come. As the Spirit come, as the Spirit in giving, then hope did not disappoint. And hope did not make a shame, because the love of God has what? Shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. So you know, here's what, when you're reading it in English, here's what you're thinking. The Holy Ghost just came. I just use paint. You just paint love like this in your heart. No, the Holy Ghost in you is the love of God in you. The Holy Ghost shed abroad in your heart is love what? Shed abroad in your heart. So you are spirit by nature. Hallelujah. You are spirit by nature, which means utterance is natural to you. So stop saying, see, here's me. Here is me. Here is utterance. No, here is you, and here is utterance. Glory to God. So that I'm here. Let me take some. You can think that way, it will still work. But you are taking from what is present. See, utterance is present in me. So if I teach you God's word and we practice in it too, more of what is present will flow out. That will amaze you. See, did I say that? Yes, you did. How did you say it? You cooperated more. And then you say, there is more where that came from. You know, you say, Brother James, come and give us a few words. And you're just giving one or two lines. The pastor now says, give us one more. That's number three. One more, five. One more, six. One more. He has been you know what's happening? What if he doesn't come out? Why won't he come out? That's natural thinking. You see, by the way, come and give us five utterances. Eh? Five prophecies. It's only two. So it's only two that when I get to I take break. But I take break now. I'll read the book of Psalms 82 to encourage myself. Now go back. It's a good practice. But when you are put on the spot, the things that will come out, if you have understanding, will surprise you. So from now before, what will you do? You will find that you can push beyond where you were before. Not because you stop where you stop because of understanding, not because that's all there is. So it is understanding that makes you stretch beyond where you once were. It's understanding. Because you are a fountain of utterance. You are the center of edification. Hallelujah. That's who you are in Christ Jesus. So, he said, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. And it defines utterance in the light of what? The resurrection. So as we go on, we begin to step deeper, because again, this should embody in you. It is not a separate character that receives. It is one and the same with the resurrection which you have received. So in that resurrection, you have the Spirit. In that Spirit, you have utterance. In utterance, you have an unending expression of God's perfection in Christ Jesus. A perfection that's an answer to any and everything life will throw at you in all situations. That's why you are the best edifier of yourself. You are the best edifier of yourself. It's an answer of God upon your lips all the time. If you allow the inner man to rise up, to strengthen the outer man, to encourage your heart, you will always stand in victory without fail in all situations. Because there's no failure in him, there will be no failure in you also. Hallelujah. That's how it works. We're going to continue next week. Amen. Glory to God. All right, we'll stop here tonight. Let's just keep tonight. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Did you get something tonight? So I'm teaching you because I'm expecting you guys are ministers. So when you start going for seminars and you have to teach, you have to be able to explain in clear detail. In very clear detail. Very, very clearly. Somebody says, why? Understanding is what helps people to go past limitations. They once brought a young man to me. The brother brought him to me and said, he used to speak in tongues. He doesn't speak in tongues again. He said, the tongues has gone. They've laid hands on him several times. So he brought him for me to lay my hands. I said, I'm not laying hands on this one. He will just count me among the number. Just one man like that, Pastor Bayo, laid hands on, so it didn't work. Even Pastor Bayo, that's how you're counting on the number. I'm not the answer you. I said, sit down there in that chair. I'll be looking at me as I'm talking. What did I do? I used Peter's method. I came to my words. I was still speaking when the boss started talking. I was still speaking. I told you, but he doesn't have understanding that song. I was still speaking. When you put all the facts together, it will be clear in the person's heart. No. It's not possible that I should not speak. How can he go? Where is he going to? No. If you have not spoken, the secret is not statement. You have not spoken. That's what has happened. Is that answer not miraculous? Pastor, I have not spoken. It's in your statement. You have not spoken. No, you cannot speak. You have not spoken. So what do we tell you? Please speak. That's all. There's no such thing like, but me, I've been a Christian for 15 years, but you say, I've never spoken. The answer is in the statement. You have never spoken. You have not, your will, you have not spoken. God has done his part. Your will is blocking what God has done. So we tell you, take your will out of the way. How? We give you your understanding. What will you do with your understanding? Now you will speak. Now you behave yourself the way you are supposed to behave. What were you doing before you were misbehaving? You can spiritually, you were misbehaving seriously by denying us. God said, I will pour out my spirit. And when he was saying it, he was boasting about you. I will pour out. Is James here? I will pour out. Is Shola here? I will pour out. Is Kemi? I will pour out. And Kemi is here. Kemi is saying that I cannot. And say, you say, eh? 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 What did he say? I can say it again. Thunder with fire. Did he say I cannot? How can you can? How can you cannot? Where? How? With what you have? With resurrection? All over your face? That I vouch for you, that I'm sitting on the throne because of you. And I say I will pour out my spirit because of you. Anywhere you are, I will pour out spirit wherever you are. You say I cannot. My friend, open your mouth and speak. You can imagine just like that, you will behave. Start behaving that wherever you are, and God needs to speak, you are God's oracle. His voice will be heard through you. Hallelujah. Listen, every time I don't know what to do, I do tongues to know what to do. And I'm not talking about praying alone, because I can pray and I can speak. Both will bring results. Every time I don't know what to do, I do tongues to know what to do, because I know the wisdom of God is not far from me. It's not far from me. All right. Have a wonderful night.